agenda is public comment. Is there anyone here that'd like to comment on the comp plan? Seeing an empty room, and Josh, you're part of the process, I guess you're okay. Seeing no one rise, I guess we'll go ahead with the agenda, Alexis, with the utilities update.
Good morning. At the last meeting on Monday last week, there was a motion to approve the draft in draft form. However, that was pending some information that we received from the University of Delaware regarding renewable energies. So I sent out some text that the University of Delaware had provided to us on renewable energies. I hadn't edited the text. This is the raw text from them to get initial feedback from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then I can edit it down, or if this group has certain changes they would like to see made, we can make sure that the text meets what you're looking for the chapter to address renewable energies. So there were two things that I sent out. One was the sections of text that they provided. And the second was some information, I guess last year, a couple professors and folks at University of Delaware took a look at the zoning codes of all the counties, the different codes, and evaluated them for the language in there for renewable energy and made some recommendations. So we can talk about the first document first, which is some text that was provided for the chapter. Was there any feedback on the text? I know it's very technical, so we can definitely edit down to make sure it matches the flow of the elements that we've been writing so far, which aren't quite as technical.
Did Hans respond to either one of these?
He did not respond.
I started looking at it. I was working more on the economic development one. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that it was really technical.
Yeah, me too.
And probably, like we said before, could be boiled down. Mm-hmm. To really almost, not a sentence or two, but...
A short paragraph.
Short paragraph, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing in section 8.4, mm-hmm. The sentence in here that says, residents of Sussex County are choosing domestic renewable sources of electricity, so on and so forth. It's, I think that's kind of a job. I think some residents are, but I don't know that all of them are. It just mm-hmm. sort of seemed like they were trying to build a case for renewables, which I appreciate, but I'm not sure that, I think some folks are, but I don't know that everybody is.
Okay, so you'd like to see that?
I have to say some residents, if that's what you're choosing.
Got it.
Well, and the, the renewable energy, almost, whether you're, when you're talking wind or solar, mm-hmm. are highly subsidized. Mm-hmm. And so the residential components of solar you see on people's roofs and all are really dependent on that subsidy.
Yep.
So, it's, and I've been in that subsidy situation before where the subsidy lapsed and lost a heck of a chunk of change because of that. And so, I don't know if the residents are choosing it because they just simply think it's a good thing because of the subsidy or because it's something that's valuable to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Vince that, I think, one, they've made a good point that we do need to review the code mm-hmm. To make sure that the code is applicable to whatever might come up.
Okay.
So that we can then process that through the commission and the council when applications come forward. So if there's donut holes in the code that, aren't addressed, then we do need to review that. That's something we can do post-fact. So that, does that seem reasonable to you?
Maybe Janelle can talk about what's currently in the code.
So there is actually a section in the code regarding wind. So that is pretty well addressed in the zoning code. For solar, if it's a large farm, that would be an electrical generation, which then goes through the conditional use process. And then we have always treated solar on roof mounts, without any requirements. And if you're going to do it ground mounted for personal use on solar, then we just treat it as an accessory structure. So it needs to meet pretty much the 5-foot setbacks. So we do recognize that.
I'd be interested to know what the rest of the group thinks, but let me ask you a couple questions, and I'll throw an idea out or two at you. Differentiating between solar and wind, Okay, and I, like Marty, I've had my own experience with solar, and it's been okay. I mean, I've got a small solar array of my own. I understand how it works. It's on a roof of a warehouse. My concern about wind is that the turbines are, to me, a lot more obtrusive than a ground-mounted solar or a rooftop-mounted solar system. I would be, one question is wind allowed by ordinance in any section that we have now, just somebody can just do a, I think it is under 100 feet, right? Isn't it limited to 100 feet?
100 feet, and then there's different requirements for over 100 feet.
And I think there's state law that...
There's state law that...
Right.
Can't
prohibit.
Well, yeah. I don't want to prohibit it, and certainly if the state law is going to take precedence over anything we do, I'm not sure that we want to go beyond what the state law requires, simply because I think it's the wind projects that create the most angst among the public. And for that reason, I think in most instances they should be the subject of a public hearing. Should have to go through a process. I'm less concerned about solar. I wouldn't object to solar farms being allowed in an AB zone or something if you wanted to address it that way. But I'm interested in what the rest of you think about all that.
I tend to agree with that, but we have to keep in mind one of our strategies that they're utility-based. So we're talking about larger commercial type.
Yeah. Utility scale. And that was Hans's recommendation back
and so,
when we worked
you know, much
on the
like we did with the solar farm on, was it Trapon Road or whatever the road is?
Yeah.
You know, that went through a public hearing process, and it was in conjunction with one of the utility providers. So it was an integrated approach. It was both recommended by the utility provider, worked with the utility, in fact, it's owned that one by the utility provider. So, I mean, I think, you know, if there's not a process, we're not here to pick whether it is or it isn't. We're here to provide a process to see if it's compatible with our land uses. So if there's a donut hole in that ordinance for larger projects, then we probably need to fix that. So there's a public hearing process or whatever process we should decide. And then if it happens, it happens. As far as the language, I agree with Vince that this is too verbose, so we can boil it down to a paragraph.
Yeah, and I was sort of thinking that, you know, along what Marty was saying, it kind of, it's a utility element first, and we're talking about, I mean, I guess energy and sort of its concept is a utility, but this is almost like getting past utilities, you know. It's looking into different means of generating energy, which is to me a little bit different of a subject. You know, and it sort of where I was going almost, it may be as simple as, you know, Sussex County recognizes that there may be, you know, ongoing development of energy sources, and the county should be flexible to those types of energy sources in the future, you know, or something like that, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say I could list them out.
And let it go at that, you know. I just don't know that we need to get into, I don't know, you know, all the details of what our ordinance says, or, you know, whether something should be a conditional use or not, or...
Well, do you think you need a strategy to revisit the ordinance and see if there are any holes? This is another thing in your plate.
You know, so see, again, that just adds a strategy that, to me, sort of states the obvious, because if, you know, 5 years down the line, you know, with technology, you know, for example, using wind turbines, you know, or 10 years, they may look completely different than now. I mean, I don't know, you know, but... And if it becomes feasible and we want to do it, you know, obviously we're not bound to the comp plan saying or not saying something. If it's appropriate, we could change ordinance. It just seems to me that that's just adding bulk to what we already have as bulky kind of goals, objectives, and strategies.
Yeah, strategically, we have to say something about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think strategically, we have to say something about it. I think we keep it kind of broad, general, positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But. Going much beyond that, I just think sort of beyond the scope of what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So So let's review the strategy goals and objectives to see what's mentioned in there, if anything. If not, then maybe we need to put something in.
So I can pull it up right now. We do have one strategy, but it has to do with utility scale. And I can pull it up so we can see the exact
language.
Yeah,
I seem to remember that.
I was thinking this, but I was a little hesitant in asking. Is wind energy, is that a utility?
It's electric.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, so that's kind of where I was going. That's more of,
the creation of the
utility. Yeah, that's the utilities commodity, I guess, almost like coal.
Where they're sold within the
system.
We have one in the county that's at Lewis, that 1 megabyte windmill.
But itself, the windmill is not the utility.
No,
that's where I'm kind of going. And I was until you brought up, I was a little hesitant to ask because
the utility's required to purchase the energy from it, but they're not required. A rate is not. There's not a rate set. The last time I revisited the subject, it was set on the demand cycle.
What the windmill is energy generation.
Yeah.
It's not the utility.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a means to generate something that the utility uses, buys, whatever. And that's why I think we kind of need to not go too far down that road, because that sort of comes after utilities. It's sort of a subset of utilities.
Yeah, the ones I'm familiar with in the Midwest sometimes shut down because the rate offered by the utility purchasers, the electric purchasers and resellers, are so low. It's below their cost of operation, so they actually shut the windmill down because they can't afford to run it at less than 1 cent a kilowatt or something.
I mean, I look at it this way, taking it the other side of it. First of all, I totally agree with Bob. We have to touch upon it because that's, I think, something that the state is obviously going to be looking for, and it's appropriate to. But, we don't go into, how much coal, whatever it is, DP&L or whoever runs the power plant, is hauling in there, to generate electricity there, or what, or the co-op, how they're acquiring their electricity. It's the resource, I think, kind of like what you were saying.
I think it's just, that's a deeper dive than what we are tasked with taking, is my opinion. Thoughts put it that way.
Okay.
Not that we're not.
Not that,
disagreeable to it or anything.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So 40% of your planning and zoning commission is personally involved in it.
Yeah.
it's not like we're against it.
Yeah. No. Not at all. So Alexis, how about we do this? How about you try to restructure something into a paragraph form?
Mm-hmm.
Revisit the goals and objectives and strategies to see if we think we're adequately covered there or not.
So here, this is up on the screen what we have right now. So the question is, do we need another strategy about taking a look at the current code to see if it needs to be revised to address any whatever holes at the more with the personal level, I guess, the more resident level based use of renewable energy sources. This is a utility level.
Yeah, the resident is 8331. Is that not resident? Oh, no, that's energy code requirements. Okay.
Yeah, it's this one here that I've
What's
got.
That above that, electric grid?
Energy conservation.
Right. If you want to do that, couldn't you just say something like be adaptive to new renewable energy sources?
Okay.
Just leave
it
at
that. Yeah, that sounds good.
Did you know those wind turbines are going to get smaller and smaller?
Yeah.
And as time goes on, technology gets better.
Yeah.
Well, you could have, tidal generation.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, that was in the inlet there.
Hydrogen fuel cells. God only knows what.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about a strategy about be adaptive to new energy, renewable energy sources as they arise in the county and revisit the county code as needed,
as necessary. Perfect.
Sounds good.
Okay,
that's good.
Now, this woman who's joined us is actually from the University of Delaware.
Oh, really?
The energy group. So if we have questions specifically for her, she could address those.
Did you want to say anything?
Spot, but we're talking about the information that Bonnie provided to us.
Yes,
you have to come forward because we have everything on tape.
Even if you're coming forward to say, no, I'm fine.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's easier to see the screen over there.
Well, we have a couple up here.
Yeah, then I have to sit
She could probably just sit in the chair.
But if you're going to speak, though, we need your name, and we need you near the mic so that we get it on tape.
Sure. Hi, my name is Jamie McCray. I am with Sea Grant at the University of Delaware. I just wanted to come to hear what your feedback was on what we submitted, and I'm interested in the word adaptive. I don't know that language is really enough to sort of, when you go off and want to make ordinances that are based on objectives, I'm not sure that would necessarily fulfill, you know, the impetus. Like, what does that mean in terms of writing ordinance type language that would help renewable energy be something that is, I guess, thought of in the county.
So you're sort of saying that in addition, maybe, well, you know, that what I'm hearing, I guess, is the theme of what you're saying is not that we should have ordinances to deal with wind power, but that renewable energy should play a part of all the county's decisions. Is that sort of?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, in general. I mean, Delaware in particular, renewable energy, wind-wise, is there are more wind resources along the coast, and technologies are just beginning to be able to use more land-based wind, and that's something that's being explored. But renewables in general are something that is, I guess, increasing. And so there are a lot of economic benefits that could be tapped into in terms of job creation, in terms of being able to have a greater percentage of the utilities portfolio be in renewables, whether it be wind or solar, which is a much larger percentage in the county.
Just curious, you know, since you have, I guess, firsthand knowledge with the wind turbine at the University of Delaware, how's that doing? I mean, is it as much an energy generator as a research tool? I mean, which is sort of,
I don't know if you actually
work with it or not. I just didn't know in your
field. I don't work with it specifically, but right now it's more an energy generator than a research tool. So just about all of the power that Lewis campus uses is, you know, from the wind turbine, as well as about 400 to 500 homes in the area. So it is a energy generation point.
I guess through the Lewis Board of Public Works or whatever, yeah, or however it's, yeah.
And then when the wind quits, you get power from.
So it's with the net meters where you have the generation and it feeds into the grid, so you get credits, and then when the wind quits, you're able to continue to draw from the grid. So we don't at the Lewis campus have batteries that are storing. It's all going into the grid.
Elon Musk is going to fix that for you.
Well, I mean, he is designing better looking solar panels, although there are issues with that. But it's a, you know, first stab. I'd love a Tesla.
Okay.
Jamie, were you involved with the research that reviewed the codes in Delaware that Bonnie provided to us, the excerpt from that article?
Right, the excerpt from Jeremy Firestone's.
Yeah.
I was not. I actually started in April of this year, so not quite yet. But were there specific questions I could...
Did the group have any questions on this review of the county code? Janelle, did you have any questions about what they found? Do you think the code that the current county currently has
I think we clearly address wind because mm-hmm. I think we go, it's like we comply with the state regulations.
Yeah, we had to.
I know. I think everybody did, and the state had to comply with the state regulations regarding wind. While there's nothing specific regarding solar, again, we treat it as either an accessory use if it's ground mounted or if you're going on the roof. It's perfectly fine unless you're going to turn a property into a solar field. You know, you just come get in a building permit. So there's not really any hindrance to allowing for that for solar use in the county unless you're going to, you just have to go through the conditional use process if you want to turn it into a generation project. And we don't address geothermal, but honestly for us it's just a hole in the ground. It would be something like a septic field. It just goes in the ground. That's not something we regulate. So again, as long as it's, and that we've never had really any issues with those as well. So I think we do address them, we've never had any issues that I'm aware of with solar coming through or wind coming through.
The one application we had, we approved. That's a solar farm. It's mm-hmm. pretty significant. It's right outside of Georgetown here.
And we've actually seen a number of farmers come in. It's like, well, I want, you know, a couple of solar panels to run the irrigation system. And all we're doing is like, okay, we just need to make sure those are ground-mounted, meet setbacks, and we've never had a problem. They usually go right out with their permit. So while we might not specifically address it, we do address it behind the scenes and getting through the process, and we haven't had, to my knowledge, any major hiccups with going through that.
All the residential stuff has been roof-mounted on solar. We have a few small windmill-type things. Those are addressed in our county code if they're not above 100 feet. You know, they're permitted. They have a setback requirement.
So if they were above 100 feet or meters, some of the new technology that's able to take advantage of lower wind speeds, you know, you have to raise the turbine higher to be
But are they greater than residential use, or are they residential use size?
I think they would more be along agricultural lands.
Right, yeah. And that would probably go through our same process as we did with the solar conditional use process.
And we actually have regulations for wind turbines that are more than 100 but less than 200 feet. That would be for a non-residential use. There is actually a process, and it is not a conditional use that I'm aware of. It would just have to make sure it complies with that section of code. They get their permits, make sure everything complies, and they'd be able to construct.
So it sounds like the code is, there hasn't been any holes with the code yet, and there's been a proposal for a strategy about the be adaptive to new renewable energy sources and revisit the code as necessary. I know you had some concerns with that language. Is there any discussion?
I think that's about all we could offer, because we don't know what future renewables are going to come out, so it's
okay.
Hard to anticipate, you know, whether it be tidal type stuff or hydrogen fuel cells or whatever. So if something came forward that was new, innovative, then obviously we would have to look at the code the same way we did before with wind and solar.
Understand.
Yeah, and we've been quite willing to do that. That's not been we haven't been hesitant to provide caveats. We're land use. We don't promote one over the other, so.
Yeah, I'm understanding of that. It's whatever is best in that particular
so instance. Ours is to try to accommodate change. You know, we don't promote or try to hold
we
back
facilitate change. It, but yeah. we don't want to necessarily promote one over the other. But I think where our code's set up now, we're doing a pretty good job of facilitating it. The real challenge with large projects, large and tall projects, is that they tend to stir up a lot of public concern, and we want to maintain a process for that concern to be heard, vetted, and in an open forum, which is why we have the conditional use process for projects like that. It isn't that this group or the council wants to prevent anybody from doing what they want to do necessarily. We just want to make sure that whatever's happening is in, you know, the public's best interest, and that's why we'd like to see this process we have now kind of be the standard for handling these larger facilities. We've got good stuff in place for stuff that's 100 or less, or up between 100 and 200, and folks can come in generally get, you know, whatever they need without having to engage in a long public process. But for the larger ones, I think right now it might be just we're feeling that it might be prudent to still hang on to that and take them each as they come. And we haven't had many. We've had one, and we approved it, and you know, we're certainly looking forward to any others that might be out there.
Okay, so I'll take a stab at paring down the language and writing the new strategy, and I'll recirculate mm-hmm. that. And then once the group approves on that language, I'll insert it into the chapter, and we'll get that posted on the website.
Sounds like a good path forward. Thank you very
Great.
Much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we, on utilities, so I know I saw the email where we got the EDUs from Hans.
Yes, I just got that on Friday, so I'm going to add that in too.
I mean, I think we already basically approved this one.
Mm-hmm. We've got it. Mm-hmm. I think we have it posted without this.
Without this change. Yeah. No, okay. It isn't posted yet because I was waiting on the EDU number, which we just got Friday.
Okay. Well, yeah,
so I'm going to put that in. I'll make sure everyone's okay with this paragraph or whatever it ends up being.
And then we post it.
Yeah.
And then we'll post it.
Yeah.
So I'll
you
circulate.
Can run that through.
Yeah, I'll do it through email if that's okay with you, Janelle.
Perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so next on the agenda, we have economic development.